We're in Ephesians 4, and I want to talk to you today about dressing for success, and I'm in verse 17. If you've got verse 17, say, I got it. All right, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about in the chapel hours will parallel what you're going to study and meditate on when you go to your God nighttime. And you that have been here before would probably know that to be true. We're going to be studying Ephesians 4 in the messages and God and I time this week. And I want to talk to you about dressing for success. How many of you agree that dressing is important? You agree with that? Dressing is important. How many of you are kind of, you like to look cool? How many of you like that? Anybody here like that? How many of you really don't care? How many of you like that? You don't care? Well, there's quite a few of you that way, and I could kind of pick up on that today, I guess. But how many of you saw pictures of your mom and dad? Remember the pictures of your mom and dad when they were younger, and you thought, dude, that really looks stupid. Anybody thought that? My parents were in the bell-bottom generation. Y'all ever seen pictures of those? And then when I was a kid, men wore shorts. I mean, real ones. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever seen those pictures where the shorts are like all the way up to there? Now guys wear culottes. That's what guys wear now. But when I was a kid, the shorts were real shorts. I mean, none of this longer stuff. No, those were gross. That's just what they were. They were just gross. That's the only way for it. Dressing is important. It is. And I'm glad you're dressed. That's important. And we're going to talk about dressing for success because the Bible says here that you are now a child of God. So put off the old man, we read that in our text, and put on the new man. You need to get dressed up so you can live the Christian life. Think through this passage just a little bit with me. Here's what the Bible is telling us. Don't walk like those around us do. He says in this passage in verse 17, now look, you're saved on your way to heaven. I want to tell you something. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The world you live in lives a certain way. And what Paul is trying to say to us is, you're now a child of God on your way to heaven. You are not to walk like those around you walk. You could say this one as well. Don't talk like those around us do. Don't talk that way. Don't live that way. Don't talk that way. And then just to make it a little rhyming there, don't balk at God's plan like those around us do. Don't walk like the world around you. They're not living the way they ought to live, and they're not living in such a way that brings joy and blessing and favor to their life. Don't talk the way they do. Don't balk at God's plan. I find so many times in our Christianity that teenagers balk at God's plan. The idea is, oh my word. When we think about Christian, oh my word. They're going to tell us we shouldn't listen to this. Oh my word. Don't watch that. Oh my word. Don't balk at God's plan. I'll come back to that in a moment and tell you why I would say that. Here's where he starts in this passage. Examine those around us. All right, so verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The first thing he wants you to know is their thinking is wrong. Did you know the average person in the world today, their thinking is wrong? How many of you know the name Ronald Reagan? Let me see your hand if you know that name. Here's a quote from Ronald Reagan it's not based on this passage, but I want to show you what he said here to make an application to us. Ronald Reagan spoke about liberalism versus conservatism. It isn't so much that liberals are ignorant, it's just that they know so many things that aren't so. And in a sense, this is what, amen, I heard an amen there. In a sense, this is what Paul is saying about the world around us. They know all kinds of things, and they're very confident about it. You see what he says later in the passage? Where is it? In verse 19, they work all uncleanness with, what's the word there? You see at the end of verse 19? Look at your Bible. What's the last word in verse 19? Greediness. It's not so much that the world is just wrong. It's that they are very confident, greedily confident about things that aren't so. So what the Bible wants you to know here is that the world has wrong thinking. How many of y'all know this one? YOLO. Do you know that one? What's that stand for? You only live once. The world around us says, hey, YOLO, you only live once. So, hey, you better live it up. You know, everybody's looking at pornography, so you should, because you only live once. You're only going to be a teenager one time. Do you know that's wrong thinking to embrace the philosophical idea of YOLO? How about this one? Love is love. How many of y'all know that phrase? You know that phrase? Love is love. If you watch the Super Bowl, it was either last year or the year before that an entire commercial was based on those three words. As the commercial came on, it showed a silhouette of two people, and they were hugging one another, and they were obviously kissing. Love is love. You couldn't see them. You just saw kind of the shadow, and they're holding each other, and it's obvious they're kissing each other. Love is love. And then you see the shadows walking out from behind the curtain. It was two guys. Love is love. Then it pans back, and you see a shadow. Two people kissing, and then they walk out, and it's a guy and a girl. Because the philosophy of our world is love is love. How dare you Christians say that two guys can't love each other? You know something? We don't say that. You know, I have friends that are guys, and I love them. It's not weird. But see, when our world says love is love, they don't mean love is love. It's not like, hey, this is my best friend and I love him. Doesn't mean that at all. How many of you have a best friend? How many of you guys have a best friend that's a guy? Let me see your hand. It's okay, isn't it? Is he cool? All the guys are going, no. That's a guy thing right there. No, not my friend. He wouldn't be mine. How many of you girls have a best friend that's a girl? So the world says love is love, and we think, oh, well, sure, that's true. But the world doesn't mean love is love. That's not what they mean. What they want us to know is, what they want us to understand is, from their perspective, love, and don't be offended by this, but this is what the world wants you to know. Love isn't love. That's not what they mean in the way you're thinking it. What they mean is that love is sex. If they love each other, then what's wrong is the thinking of our world. If two people love, they just love each other. So who are we to say that they can't get married and or even live together or just have a physical relationship? The world's thinking is wrong, Paul is saying. See, we don't even really believe that. The world wants us to think that love is love. Love is sex. It's all okay. Except this gets weird. How many of you would say, I love my mom? Well, it's true, I love my mom, but not the way the world means love. That would be not only wrong, it would be wicked. Or say, I love my dog. I love my cat. I love my horse. See, the world throws these words at us, and we teenagers, the world wants you to think, oh, come on, what's the big deal? But when you take it apart, it's an incomplete wrong thinking. He's wanting you as believers not to think wrongly, but to think rightly. So here's YOLO, here's love is love. Porn is harmless entertainment. That's what your world is telling you. And the world is flat out wrong. There's nothing harmless about it at all. It perverts our thinking. It twists our thinking. It's addictive. In fact, recent studies have shown that the onslaught of internet porn is more addictive than heroin, crack cocaine, and meth. Which is why there are young people in this very room who look at it every week. Even if you hate it, you got to go back to it. It's not harmless entertainment. It's damaging and deadly. This is wrong thinking in our generation. How you feel is what's most important. All I'm trying to show you is that what Paul wrote here some 1900 years ago is still true. You ought to examine the world and recognize, I got to be careful how I live. I'm a child of God, and the world around me is thinking wrong. Here's another one. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You just take care of yourself. But that's not Christianity. Christianity says, yes, I'm to be aware of who I am and do what's right and take right steps, but I'm also to be aware of you. I'm to be aware of my family. I'm to take care of those around me. I'm responsible for them. Wrong thinking is the first thing he addresses here. When you examine those around you, recognize their thinking is wrong. He says in verse 17, they're wrong in the vanity of their mind. In verse 18, we find out their understanding is wrong. Having the understanding darkened. Go back to those lists of five things I just gave you. Their understanding is wrong. It's not true that love is love. There are different levels of love. And the highest form of love is not human sexuality. It is self-sacrifice. A young man who ends up having a baby with a girl and doesn't take care of that baby is not loving. He's selfish. But a real man protects his purity, gives it to the one woman that he will spend the rest of his life with, has a family, and sacrifices at any cost to meet the needs of that family. That's real love. The world's understanding of love is wrong, of life is wrong. He says here, their heart is wrong. Look at the end of verse 18. You got your Bible open? At the end of verse 18, he says, because of the blindness of their heart is wrong. He even gives one more here, their ignorance is wrong. He says in verse 18, he said, they are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Can I ask you a question? Think about this. Have you ever done something that was just dumb? How many of you ever done something that was just dumb? It was dumb and you did it. The word, this is so weird. It was almost hard for me to think this way. But when the Bible says that the world we live in has their understanding darkened and are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, the word ignorant literally has the idea of dumb. It's just dumb the way our world lives. I was thinking about this. Have you ever done something that was dumb? And I was working on this sermon this week, and I had to send a package to my son who's in Texas. And so we live in next door to a little town called Baghdad, Florida, and it's got this tiny little post office, and I go in there all the time, and it's always the same person, and usually my daughter goes with me because they get free, you know, suckers, dum-dum suckers, as a matter of fact, and so they know that I'm a dad. And so the lady, I went in and I'm getting my package, I filled it out, I paid for it, and everything, and the lady behind the counter Friday said to me, have a happy Father's Day. And before I could stop myself, I said to the lady, you too. And I thought, that was kind of a dumb thing to say, wasn't it? And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I guess that was kind of a dumb thing to say. And she goes like, yeah, but it's fine. I've done dumb things before. When I was a teenager, my dad taught me to drive. Well, it was before. I learned to drive when I was 11. I was a farm kid, so we had to drive on the farm sometime. And I was pretty proud of the fact that I knew how to drive. And so one day I was mowing the yard, where we lived, we didn't have a paved driveway. We had a gravel driveway that had grass that grew down the middle of the driveway. You've seen those, haven't you? And so I thought I'd be a good son, and I would get my dad's keys and back up the truck and mow underneath the truck because there was grass going under the truck. So I went in the house, and I got my dad's keys. I mean, I was 11. I know how to drive. Dad's taught me how to drive. And so I got in his truck, and I got it cranked up, and I put it in reverse because I just got to back it up about 20 feet and mow the grass under the truck, and I left the door open. There's a tree right beside of Dad's truck, and I put it in reverse, and it had a clutch. Now, some of you teenagers, you know, clutches don't mean anything to you, but when I learned to drive, I learned to drive with a clutch. You had to push down the clutch and put the transmission in gear, and then you had to do this little finagle thing where you had to give it enough gas with this foot. You know, you're hitting the accelerator as you're releasing the clutch, and you had to get all that balance, and then it would go backwards. When you're first learning to drive a standard manual transmission kind of thing, you do a whole lot of jerking and stalling it, and I didn't want to do that. I'm learning to drive, and I'm 11, and I can do this. So I had to slide off the seat to get the clutch down, because I wasn't tall enough hardly, and I'm peeking over the, you know, the dashboard there, and I put it in reverse, and I got the, you know, the accelerator, you know, and I popped the clutch, and I hit it back, and I hit the tree with the door, and I bent the door all the way the opposite direction. It was a dumb thing to do. My dad, he was actually had worked all night, and he was asleep, and when he got up, I said, you know, what do you, this is, you know, this is scary. You got to tell your dad what you did to his truck. The door won't close. Just a, you know, minor issue, but an issue nonetheless. And so I said to my dad, I'll never forget, I said to my dad, you know, Dad, I got to tell you what happened. And told him, and he's all bloodshot eyes. He slept all, you know, he hasn't slept all night. And he only slept a few hours. And he didn't even say anything. He just put his shoes on, kind of motioned for me to go with him. And he walked out to the truck and looked at the door, and his truck had just one seat and small cab, and the seat had a little thing you could flip the seat forward. He had tools behind the seat, and he just reached in and flipped it forward and pulled out a sledgehammer. And I thought, dude, this is a little drastic. And so he didn't say a word. He just took it, and he you know, forced the door back around, and he hit it, kept hitting the hinges a certain way, and finally got it to where if you push the door around and lift it up on it and pushed it in, it would close. He didn't say a word the whole time. And then he puts the sledgehammer away, and he turned around to me and he said, well, guess you won't do that again, will you? That's all he ever said about it. He didn't say anything else. My dad is the king of one-liners. I saw him one time with a chainsaw, cut his knee almost in half. He fell on the chainsaw, and it was like, and it ripped, and blood's going everywhere. And my dad very calmly stood up and turned the chainsaw off and said, boys, I think I hurt myself. And I was like, yeah, I think you did. I think so. Now, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, and you have to. I got you a couple here to show you. This one just cracked me up. I like this. When we have nothing left but God, we discover that God is enough, but we still shouldn't sit on cliffs. That's just dumb. That's one of my favorite memes right there. I got a kick. I saw this picture the other day and thought I'd show it to you. I'd say that's just dumb. There's got to be a better way to move that drawer, that refrigerator, than to put it on top of your little car and have the guy right up there holding it. I can't see anything that could go wrong here, can you? This one, I almost hesitated to show you this one, but I couldn't help but laugh. This sometimes we just do dumb things. Like that's probably not the best way to try to crank your chainsaw. This one here is my son. This is my son Matthew, and he's not here, so I can show you this. My son Matthew loves to run, and we live in the country, and when he runs a couple of times, he's been attacked by pit bulls. And a lot of times when you live in the country like we do, people don't, you know, chain their dogs up or, you know. So when my son, he came home one day and his shorts are all ripped because this pit bull had attacked him and everything. And so he turned 18 in February, and there's a little hardware store in our town. And I went over there and I bought him a special 18-year-old present just from Dad. It's a flashlight. It's actually bigger than this one. I bought him a flashlight because, you know, flashlights will help you. If you carry it, you can beat a dog with it. Except this is no ordinary flashlight. This flashlight has a little button on the bottom, and if you touch it to someone and do that, it's 55 million volts of electricity. And so if a dog attacks you and you're jogging along, you just don't even stop. You just go. And I just promise you, the dog is done. And so I said to my son a few days after I bought it for him, I said, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to have you tase yourself and videotape it. And I love Matthew because Matthew's like, sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, here you go.
All right.
This is great.
All right, ready?
Sure, go.
Oh! Isn't that great?
That is great. Noise. Yeah!
my question was, did that hurt? And Jesus is like, yeah, it hurts. What was funny about this is that this is the second time we did it. Because the first time he does this little thing and he's like, you know, he's like, he gets it started and then he's like, boom, he touches its arm and he jumps back. And I was like, that's cheating. You got to put it on there and hold it. And he was like, okay. He is a great kid. I have to tell you that I am praying for his roommates at college this fall, and probably you should pray with me. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Bible says in our text that the world around us is wrong because of their ignorance. They don't know any better. And teenagers, the Bible comes to this passage and says to every one of you, don't live the way they live. You're not to live that way. That's not the way you're to live. So when you examine them, you find out their thinking is wrong, their understanding is wrong, their heart is wrong, their ignorance is wrong. And yet, all over this room this morning are teenagers. And if you were flat out honest on a Tuesday morning in the summer of 2018 at the Wilds, most of your lives would be more like the world than like Christ. It would be obvious by the music most of you listen to. It would be obvious even sometimes by the way you dress. It would be obvious by the entertainment you've watched over the last 3 weeks. The YouTube videos you've seen. If we could take the history of your internet of the last 3 weeks and post it on the screen, what did you look at in the last 3 weeks on the internet? Many of you in this room, it would be evident. Your life is more like the world that we live in than like Christ. The way you respond to your parents. So, yeah, but you don't know my parents. I don't know your parents, but I can't change your parents and you can't change your parents, but you can change you. You can't change your mom and dad. But you don't have to be bitter and angry and sharp and harsh. Some of you in this room, you hate the way your mom and dad treat you. But here's the problem you have. You treat them the same way they treat you. You're becoming the very thing you hate. That's no way to live. The Bible wants you to dress for success. Not live like the world you live in, but to live differently, a Christian life. And so he tells us to examine the world around us. And then the second thing here is we're to examine ourselves. Look in the passage. He says in the passage, we're to make corrections. Because the point here is put off the old man. That's in verse 20. To put off the old man, that's no way to live. He's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off the old man. Make corrections in your life. Put off that old man. One of the things we're going to try to do every day this camp week is to challenge you to put off this old man. Why live the way the world lives? You got wrong thinking. You got wrong entertainment. You got all kinds of stuff. You know, the way you respond to your parents or the jokes you tell with your friends or your thought life. There's all kinds of stuff in your life that you are dressed for failure. God's telling us in this passage, you and I've got to make corrections in our life. And secondly, we've got to make changes. Put off the old man, he says. And then two verses later, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is Christianity. It's not that I get saved and boom, everything in my life is perfect. It's not how it works. I get saved and Almighty God has done a work on the inside of me. I'm now a child of God. I'm clean. I'm right with God. Everything is right between me and God. There is nothing I will ever do that will make God love me more. Nothing. He loves me with a perfect love. He knows everything I do, every failure, every wrong thought, every stumble. He knows it all. But He's created in me a new man. I am clean. I am forgiven. I am right with God. In the sight of Almighty God, I am as perfect as Jesus Christ because His righteousness has been placed on my account. You know, it's an amazing truth. But because that's true, doesn't guarantee success. Paul comes along and says, yes, this is all true. That's been the point of chapters 1, 2, and 3. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are right with God. You're acceptable to God. God's not against you anymore. He's on your side. He loves you with a perfect love. You are as loved as it is possible to be loved. But things aren't well in your life. Why are you walking like the world? Dress for spiritual success. Put on the new man. And right between these two, verse 22, put off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. He tells us very simply that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Think of it like this. The world around us, they don't have the life of God, but you do. Verse 18, he says they're alienated from the life of God. They don't have that, but you do. In verse 20, they haven't learned Christ, but you have. He's talking to those of us who are saved. They don't have the truth in verse 21, but you do. Did you see those three verses? He says here, they are alienated from the life of God. That's in verse 18. He says verse 20, ye have not so learned Christ. That's not what Jesus is all about. That's not how Jesus wants you to live. In verse 21, if so be that you've heard Jesus and have been taught by Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, they don't have the life of God, but you do. They haven't learned Christ, but you have. They don't have the truth, but you do. So here's the point of verse 23. Teenagers, think the truth. Here's what he says. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now I'm going to put it on the screen and read it to you, and you read it with me. This is the whole point. As we learn the Word of God and apply it to our lives, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes us more like Jesus so that we can have the blessings of God. Do you ever think like this? We're going to go to camp. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to tell me that my music is wrong. They always do. They're going to tell me I shouldn't wear that. That's just what preachers do. The counselor's going to talk to me about this, and I know, you can't do this, they're not supposed to do this. We almost always think of Christianity for some reason as some kind of negative terminology. But I'm telling you that it's not the heart of God for you. The heart of God is summed up in the last line, blessings. Why is it that God is saying to me, don't live YOLO? Don't embrace this love is love thinking that the world is so messed up about. Don't live for yourself. Don't allow yourself to get addicted to garbage on the internet. Don't live that way. And the reason God is telling you that is not because He's against you as a teenager. It's not that He's against your fun. It's not that He's against your enjoying life. It's that Almighty God's plans for you is that you can have the blessings of God in your life. And you know why the world is so wrong? Because they're robbing themselves of the blessings of God. Teenagers, we're not on you this week about don't do that or don't do this or you better do that or you better do that. We're not trying to make your life miserable. Our heart for you is that you would have the blessings of God. And this is how God does it. As you get in the Bible, you know why our enemy works so hard to keep us from the Word of God? Because he doesn't want this to happen in your life. See, most of you this summer have watched movies. But a lot of you haven't done much, if anything, with the Bible. Oh, you've been on YouTube, but not in the Bible. Oh, you've gone to practice. You've worked out. You've shot some hoops. You've done some exercising. You're trying to be good for your team, but you've not been in the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, if the enemy can get you out of thinking the truth, he robs you of the blessings of God in your life. And so here's what the Bible says. Dress for success. Get the Word of God into your life and live it. Because when you do, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make you more like Jesus. And when He does it, you will have the blessings of God. So let's close. Our time will be gone in just a moment. Put off the old man. Put off the old man. There's some social media that some of you need to change. It's not wrong to use social media. I think it's amazing the technological hour you live in. It's just amazing. My son FaceTimes me. He's in Texas, and he and I talk. His girlfriend is in Israel. And they talk. They see each other via FaceTime. It's an amazing hour of technology. I'm not opposed to Facebook and Twitter. I use it. I don't do Snapchat. I know some of you do, and I can't do Snapchat. I can't do it because Snapchat has too much pornographic material on it. I can't do it. I don't want to be identified by that. I can't. I have an Instagram account. I rarely go on it because the world you live in jokingly calls Instagram Instaporn. One estimate I read recently says that 38% or more of the photos on Instagram are pornographic. It's not wrong to use social media. But if your social media is the thing that's hindering you from becoming everything God wants you to be, you got to make some changes. I don't know if you know this or not, but you could, if you had to, survive without social media. I know that sounds startling. Y'all know that I'm married, right? How many of y'all know that I'm married? Y'all know that I'm married? Did you know that I got married and not one time texted her before I married her? Never. I never emailed her. I never one time sent her an Instagram photo of me working out and flexing. I never did. I never one time Facebooked her. I didn't tweet her. I didn't send her a Snapchat. We didn't have any of that. And you know what we did do? Without any social media, we fell in love. We did this thing. We did this unusual thing. You know what we did? We wrote letters. We got this piece of paper and a pen, and we wrote letters. I wrote the year I married my wife, I wrote her a handwritten letter every day that year. I did. She still has them. She does. She wrote me. As we're getting closer to being married, they got steamier and steamier. I'm telling you, those are good letters. I should publish them on social media, don't you think? What is it in your life that's stopping you? Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's YouTube. And it's not wrong to be on YouTube. There's a ton of good stuff on there. But some of you will waste 3-4 hours a day playing video games. You don't achieve greatness by defeating the next level of the game, you know. That has to be real life. Some of you, it's your friendships. God's telling you in this passage, put off the old man. Some of you, it might be a dating relationship. Just for whatever it's worth. You know what? If you're 13 years old, you probably don't need a boyfriend or girlfriend. For crying out loud, you can't even make your bed. You probably don't need that. There'll come a day you could do something called dating. But if you're 16, you're not ready to be married. Why play the game? Guys, here's a little tip. Like them all. Just like them all. And it's okay. If she's pretty, like her. Hey, baby. Just like them all. I went to one church and my son, we're on the way home from church, and I said to my son, Matthew, the one that was on the screen, said, what'd you think about that church? He said, oh, Dad, I could go to church there. I'm thinking, oh, it was the Word of God. It was the prayer time. It was the music. So I said to my son, oh, yeah, tell me about it. He goes, Dad, that church has so many pretty girls. And I'm like thinking two things. Number one, I'm like thinking, are you kidding me? But I'm a dad. On the other hand, I'm like thinking, yes! This is good. It's okay. Girls, it's okay to like guys. But you don't need one of them. until you're ready to be married. Some of you can't even cook. You're going to kill your husband. He will starve. Put off this. Don't play these games. Don't put off the old man. What is it in your life that's keeping you from the Bible, that's stopping you from being what God wants you to be? Get in the Word of God and don't allow these things to hinder it. Put on the new man, the Word of God and prayer and love and joy and peace in your life, purity. Run from the garbage on the internet. Literally run. Slam it shut. Turn it off. Unplug it. Run, get out, leave, go somewhere. Don't allow this world to mess up your life. Put on purity in your life. Put on character in your life. Make your bed. Help with the dishes. Mow the yard without being told. Do the laundry and fold it and put it away. Character. You're a child of God. You know what God wants you to do? He doesn't want you to ruin your life by living in this world of social media and entertainment and YouTube and all the busyness and just running and running and running from one thing to another that is doing nothing to help you be the Christian you ought to be. What this passage is going to tell us this week, if you'll put on the new man, you can be dressed for success spiritually. What you'll find is the blessings of God. You'll find His love, His peace, His joy, His favor. Girls, I'm joking a little bit about this guy-girl thing. The girls, live a life in such a way that if God's plan for you involves marriage, you'll marry the best. A godly guy who's a really sharp young man. A man you can live with the rest of your life and grow old together. Like the little couple on Up. See? Girls always do that.
Aww.
God wants to bless your life. And if you'll put off the old man and put on the new, He will. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we leave this auditorium to spend a few moments in our devotions with You, help us to think like Christians ought to think. Help us to apply Your word to our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.